Welcome to Conversations with Katie.
Dear baby girl, you are human. I know the very first episode on this series. Welcome back to Conversations with Katie. This is still the Dear Baby Girl series, and that's really the advice for today. So, yeah, I know at the beginning of the series, the very first episode, if you did not listen to it, please go and listen to it. The episode was literally titled, Your Parents Are Human. And I think that is a very important realization to have so that we can be empathetic towards the people who happen to be our parents. Because they have human limitations, they have their own lives, they have their own experiences that inform how they raise us, and really how they understand the world and how they do life. But today's episode is very important for me personally, and I believe it will be important for many Black girls, because we are taught excellence, right? And that's not a bad thing. I remember I was in grade 10, I was starting school in Oudtshoorn. So I was learning Afrikaans for the first time. I was 14 years old, so I'm 2 years younger than everybody else in my grade. I skipped grades, but I'm coming from literally like the bottom of the barrel type of government school, and I'm coming into a Model C school. So I'm changing my home language, and I'm taking up a new language as a first additional language, and I'm learning subjects that I've never been exposed to. In a way that I've never been exposed to them. I'm learning half of my subjects in Afrikaans and half of them in English. At this time, I fully don't understand Afrikaans at all. I could not understand the greetings in the language. So I remember one of the teachers saying to me, everybody else was pretty sure that I was going to fail, but I remember one teacher saying to me, and I thank her for this because it has literally shaped me into the person that I am. Although I have a lot yet to improve on, I appreciate the person that I am. If I died as this Dineo, I would be satisfied, literally. So I thank her for that. And what she said to me was that you have two choices. You either will fail dismally or you will excel. And at that point, like what she was saying was that you don't have the option to be average. You don't have the option to be mediocre because people are expecting you to fail. So you have the burden of being excellent, or you have the default of failing dismally. And you need to choose. Are you just going to accept defeat, or are you going to push yourself beyond the limits? Because there's literally like no in between. There was no in between for me, right? I was expected to fail, but also I'm coming from a background of being like pushed like to skip grades because I was quote unquote excellent. You get what I mean? So there's that expectation that you are a straight A student, and it's now this expectation that you're gonna flunk because you don't even understand the language of instruction. So that was really hectic for me. But the fact that she made excellence an option, right? The fact that she gave me that option, because at that point I was basically apathetic, because every single day I basically was reminded of the fact that you were going to fail. For the first time in your life, you are going to fail, and you don't have any, there's nothing you can do about it. You are just going to fail. But she made excellence an option. And I held on to that option. And I've literally said, even throughout university, I literally said, failure is not an option. To such a point where I would write my exams and then go home. I would literally finish my exams, take a 9-hour bus home, and not look at my results until the following semester. I would literally not make it an option to have a reassessment. Not because I was excelling as such, but because I just held on to excellence, right? I held on to excellence as the only option I had, because failure was not it. I've never had the option to fail at anything. And that's such a burden, right? And I'm going to get to that, but I want to acknowledge that it was important for me, and it still is important. And I mean, even in the church culture, I remember a specific youth conference while I was in varsity, and the preacher was preaching on the book of Daniel, or the whole conference was themed on the book of Daniel, and they highlighted the verse, I think it's in the first chapter of Daniel, that says, and he had the spirit of excellence, right? So it's literally godly to be excellent, because the spirit of excellence that was upon him was the spirit of God, right? So I had this burden my whole life, literally, not because anybody put it on me, but it was like an unspoken expectation that you have to excel. You don't have it. I literally would have like 98% in primary school, and I would cry because I did not get 100%. I literally would come second, and I would cry because I did not come first. Not because I wasn't excelling, but because I wasn't, you know, it wasn't the excellentest excellent. So it's been a burden, right, that I've put on myself. So now in adulthood, what you learn, and even throughout varsity, you learn this very painfully. Life will humble you because there's a very, very large extent of it that is pride, right? And God will humble you. Trust me. If you do not want to humble yourself, sis, bro, because humility is on its way to you and you're not going to like it. So for the first time, I need to now settle for not knowing. I need to settle for not having enough. I need to settle for all these things that are happening. And I need to settle basically for average, a lot of average things. And for me, I've always been an easygoing child. Like, you can ask my mama. Like, you literally can ask mama. It's really, really, really my truth. I've always been an easygoing child. I don't care about the latest trends. I don't care about the latest phone that's on the market. I don't care about a lot of things. But I really care about doing well, right? I want to make other people's lives easier. I want to, you know, like, I want to add value. And I feel like when I make a mistake, I am basically being an inconvenience, which is true, but to a very detrimental level. And I'm literally being, like, transparent and 100% vulnerable in this episode, because literally, like, I made literally, like, I just said the word literally like 5 times and I have not even finished one sentence. But anyway, so I was recently appointed into this other organization for this other job. So in it, I think the first thing that happened, so I think there was load shedding when I had to do my, I forgot to attach a cover letter when I was doing my application. That's the first thing, right? And then the second thing, I didn't know what they required of me when they did like the second level interview, the assessment for that. So I literally sent an email being like, thank you for trusting me and for literally taking me this far in this situation. But I mean, if I don't know this one thing, then it basically means I'm not good enough for the job. That was my email, not in those words, but definitely the same sentiment. And then they like explain to me, no, that's not what is up. This is what we want. So I do it and then I get the job. And then when I'm supposed to do my induction, there's load shedding. So I'm late for the meeting. And then we end up getting it done. And then we start. I can't remember what happened exactly after that, but there's another mistake that happened. I think I missed a meeting, right? Oh, I missed the staff meet and greet. I literally scheduled the meeting for like a day later. And this has happened to me like twice already, which I just need God to come through for me about. That I you know, like on your calendar, when you're on a specific date, like and you're setting up a meeting, it sets it up for that day. So you kind of need to change the date. But I didn't change that. So in my head, the meeting is the following day. I am not even in a place where I can be on the meeting. So I missed the meeting greeting. In my head, I'm like, I must be the most unreliable person to these people by now, because this is in the space of less than a month. And then I missed my evaluation meeting. That I literally thought was later. So I had 2 meetings with the same person the same day. And I literally thought that the meeting, I only had 1 meeting later, only to find out that I earlier on had an evaluation and then later on had a meeting. So I missed my first formal evaluation meeting, which literally made me feel like, okay, fine. Like, I think at that point, then I was like, okay, fine. If you really, please recommend to me if you'd like for me to step down, because at this point, I just feel like I'm a failure. Like, I literally, and that time, even if I do sit on myself, I'm slaying at my job, right? And it's a part-time gig. So, and it's, I don't know, like, I really hate giving myself excuses, but there's literally like a valid explanation every time I've made a mistake. The only thing that's annoying for me is that I'm making so many mistakes and it's so little time. But also, I've only just started on the job and I'm still trying to adjust. I'm literally learning things as I go. So I am basically, it's orientation and working at the same time. It's remote, so basically it's mainly independent. So it's a lot, right? It's way too much at the same time. It's too many systems I've never worked with that I have to use online. But the thing that really brought about the reason for this podcast is what happened this week. So they, like I'm saying, mainly online systems. So there's one specific online system that I had to use for a specific task. And well, it was basically like an RSVP system. So you have to basically like unmark everything and then mark the days when you're available. And I literally didn't know that I have to first unmark everything. Like, I think I tried the thing 3 times, right? I read the emails over and over again to see, okay, is the instruction on here? And I looked at the system like 3 times and eventually I like and clicked and whatever. And then only to find out that I actually had to unmark everything and then mark the 2. So now I'm basically RSVP'd for every day, right? And I'm not actually available for every day. So now I literally, like, I had an event that day, so I don't check my emails because I'm visa planning for this big event. And then now I end the event and I'm excited because, you know, like, it's late. I'm not super excited also because I had signal glitches, but that's fine because the event went well and it happened. So I finish my event, I'm on a high, and then I see a message that's like, you missed an appointment. And I'm like, how could I have set up an appointment for today when I knew I wasn't available, right? And I'm like, I selected the 2 days that I was available, this and this time. It's like, no, you selected everything. So now I feel like I'm such a failure. Like, I am such a failure. I just can't. Because now I'm thinking, okay, now I quickly run and I check the emails and I literally have like at least 2 appointments for every day. Days when I don't actually have time. Like, I don't even know what time I'm stealing to record this. But yeah, so it's just now like the most, like I think I sat there for an hour. I was filming in my mom's room and for the event, and I just sat there for an hour. And I just, like, I felt literally so defeated. Because now, how many mistakes have I made? How long have I been with these people? And I literally feel like I must literally be the most unreliable person these people have ever met. Like, literally, that was how I felt. Like, I must literally be the most unreliable person. These people, literally, I am, my impression, their impression of me is probably that this girl is smart, she's good at her job, but she is hella unreliable. And that made me feel so horrible. Because I literally, like, would never want anyone to think that I'm unreliable. Like, I don't like unreliable people. Not unreliable, I don't like unreliability. Like, if I give you these many chances and you're still unreliable, I probably would, you know, like, make wiser decisions. Like, I can't really trust you with much, so I'm gonna only trust you with what I can trust you with. I don't know if that makes sense. But yeah, so I beat myself up for it. I beat myself up for it for that. I literally was like in tears. And for me, it's like, wow, now somebody else has to make time to fulfill these appointments that I committed to. And I was just like, wow. I'm literally yawning thinking about it. Sorry. Like, my physiological responses are so real. Like, I am literally right now feeling all the emotions. But seriously, it literally is a lot for me. And that moment was such a wake-up call for me. That, whoa, you know, if this was somebody else that made all these mistakes, yes, of course, you would be wiser about trusting them and stuff. But I would have had so much empathy for that person. Because in my head, literally, like, we've had a situation. And my thing was, like, yo, after making, like, two mistakes, this person must really be beating themselves up. So the least I can do is show them a little bit of grace. Because they already feel bad, right? But I realized I don't have that same grace for myself. And it boils down to Black excellence. I feel like, as a Black girl, I have the burden of being excellent. Or making the, you know, like making the mistake of having other Black girls seen as incompetent because of me. I literally feel like that. And it's such a burden. It is such a burden to feel that I am carrying. I don't even know who made me think that. I don't know if it was something that was put on me or something I took up without even noticing. That I feel like when I make a mistake, I am blocking an opportunity for another Black girl. And that is so toxic. Like, it's so unkind to me. It's so unkind to another Black girl. Because it says to her, you can't make a mistake. And that really, for me, is something that is very, very important for us to talk about. And it's something that I wish all the baby girls of all ages in the world would come to know, bruh, that it's okay to make a mistake. Now, don't go out there and be reckless and waste your opportunities because you are representing the community, whether you like it or not. So don't go out there and be reckless and careless. But if you really, really tried your best, if you really, you know, if you really, really aren't being reckless and you know, if you are doing your best and you know it, show yourself some grace. When you do make mistakes, learn from them, right? And I'm also not saying, okay, just like make all the mistakes in the world, it's okay. Learn from the mistakes that you do make, but still be graceful with yourself. Like, have some grace, have some empathy for yourself. And from there, you can grow. Like, if you were wallowing in self-pity or in self-loathing, and you're just going to quit every job because you made a mistake, or you're going to leave every relationship because you made a mistake, you're not going to grow. That is so toxic. But if you can acknowledge, I made a mistake, and I would like to fix it, and have grace for yourself, you will go places. You will grow, and you will learn to also have grace, more grace for other people when you realize that you are not perfect. And something that I always say that is really not a cop-out, but it's definitely something important. If you're not a medical doctor, I'm sorry for the baby girls that are doctors, because this is going to be sad for you. You can't say this, but I can. I can literally say that I don't save lives. So nobody's going to die because I made a mistake. You know, it literally boils down to that for me, because it's so heavy on me when I make a mistake. I need to remind myself, but nobody's going to die from this. This is not a fatal mistake. I didn't run a person over. I didn't, you know what I mean? I didn't misdiagnose a person. I didn't give a person the wrong medication. I didn't fall asleep during an operation. Nobody's going to die. I can fix it. You know? And it also kind of makes you realize that you need help. You need God's help. God is our present help, but you also need God to help you through people. You know, like, you need to be vulnerable enough to say when you are under pressure, when you don't know. Like, literally with that system, like, I went on it 3 times. And not once did I think, okay, just send a message to ask, am I doing this thing right? I didn't even think about that. With the first incident, I literally thought, I'm just not going to respond to the assessment. I'm just going to leave it. But I thought, well, but these people have been so kind to me. They've been so nice to me. The least I can do is just let them know that I basically failed at this thing. And because I reached out to them, they helped me. I didn't even know that I was reaching out for help. I was reaching out in defeat, but I received help. So it's okay to, you know, also, I fully acknowledge that the world is not always kind to us. The world does not always expect us to do well. So you can't be on social media being like, oh my gosh, da 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 about things all the time. Or you cannot just reach out to anybody at the office and ask for help. Everybody's not going to show you grace. But you need to identify your helpers in every environment that you are in. Be it a relationship, be it a job, be it a project, be it even if you're volunteering somewhere, you need to identify helpers for yourself, right? So that when you are struggling, you know, okay, I can trust this person. This person has got my back. And sometimes it's another girl in the office. Sometimes it's an older male or female in the office who will be willing to lend you a helping hand. I mean, I remember in my time at Activate, I had Auntie Lou and I had Anele who helped me. I really struggled when I first started with my job. And I was actually faced with so much. I had a lot of work to do. I had too many people who were rooting for me to fail. So much so that I couldn't even fully reach out to everyone and say, okay, I'm struggling here. And they knew my areas of improvement. They knew my areas of growth. They knew what I knew and didn't know when they hired me. But I was literally expected to just flip a switch and know everything overnight. But I knew for a fact that I can call on Auntie Lulu and I can call on Anele to help me. And they've helped me. Even to this day, I can still call on them to help me. And that for me is very important, that you know in every single corner, in every single space that you are in, know your helpers. Know, literally the first thing you need to identify when you get into a new environment is identify your helpers. Get those people who will have your back, who won't say, ugh, oh my gosh, not again. You're doing another thing wrong. You know, it's better for you to seek help than for you to make a mistake. But when you do make a mistake, also be graceful with yourself. But y'all, this is the longest episode we've had in the Dear Baby Girl series. But I really felt to just share that because a lot of us have the same pressures, yet nobody really speaks out about these things. So yeah, baby girl, you are human. And it's the 16 days of activism against violence against women and children in the whole world now. So it's very important for us to also acknowledge these things because it even affects one's mental health. Like it can even lead to such points of defeat that you can even feel like, ah, I should just die. And that is so, so real. Like I've been there. I know a lot of my friends who've been there. So I just want to share this with you to say, stay alive, stay alive, keep breathing, ask for help, you know, like ask for help. That's literally going to save your life. Ask for help. It's available. It is there. Ask for help. Because dear baby girl, you are human. Okay. Goodbye. Enjoy your weekend. I will see you on the next episode.